Round one was over. Parents won. Kids sip.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing. That was all started by a mouse.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Gentlemen, start your engine!
To infinity and beyond!
There's a touch of madness around here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to DDP Today, a show that's a little about us, a lot about Disney and fun for the whole family. My name is Justin, and today I am joined by a few of my buddies. And man, am I excited to be here because we have an incredible topic tonight, something we have never done, brand new for you on episode 346. Before we get to that, let me go around the table, see how everybody's doing. Let me start with my buddy to the north, the great Mr. Mike. What's up, man?
What's going on? It's been quite an eventful few days here in the Stolfi household. It's one of those things when you have a little bit of a rash luck. It's sometimes, you know, the bad luck lasts, get a couple of maybe comes in threes or twos, or, you know, it seems to come in groups. And started off our week on Monday with it's a little Disney related because our dog's name is Simba. Poor Simba was out in the backyard with me on Monday while I was talking on the phone with one of my friends. And Simba put his nose where it shouldn't be, and a cottonmouth snake bit him right on the face. And they are venomous and they can be deadly to dogs. So it wound up being kind of one of those dog emergency situations. And thankfully, we have a very good pet hospital here in the neighborhood. And obviously, being down here in the South, they're very used to dogs being bit by venomous snakes. So it happens. Unfortunately, it's not something you want to happen. It's quite scary. It was quite scary for poor little Simba, well, big Simba, and quite scary for us. Obviously, we've never had a dog emergency before with all the dogs we've had throughout all of the years. So this was quite an event for Laura and I. It was quite that. And then, you know, last night I'm, you know, getting ready to make my lunch for, you know, and get my coffee ready for the, you know, for my next day of work. And I go to turn the water on and the sink handle pops off in my hand. It's just one of those things where, it rains, it pours. Had a little bit of a work emergency the other day. We ran into some difficulties at work that I'm not going to tell you details about. We'll keep that for a different type of show or topic, but it's been one of those things, and it's just been a couple of rough days. So I'm extremely excited to be recording with you guys tonight. I love recording on a day where I don't have to go to work tomorrow. The only work I have to do is obviously put in a new kitchen faucet. So I have that on my plans and my agenda. But when I don't have to work the next day, and, you know, we like to show prep and get stuff done so that we can give you guys a good show. And when Justin says, hey, we got a new topic tonight, you don't have to do any show prep for this. It's going to kind of be on the fly. It's going to be answering questions. I love that because I am completely relaxed. I have a little bit of an adult beverage in hand, and I am looking forward to doing this new topic with you guys tonight.
Yeah, you did have quite the week, but I'm glad it's over. Everything comes in threes, and I told you that. I texted you that last night. I was like, all right, comes in threes, so that was a third thing, so now you're home free. It's all good from here. Nothing but positivity coming your way for now on. Roll back the curtain a little bit, because this is actually take two of us starting this episode, because we had some audio issues because I didn't have my mixer with me, and we tried something new, because in this house right now is one of my brothers himself. He came up to Charleston, hung out with me. We did Top Golf. We did dinner, and we tried to record in the same room, and it just didn't work out. That audio quality was not going to be good. So I'm in the kitchen. He's in my office, hanging out. The great Joe Q. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, brother? How are you? There's nothing better than hearing your voice, not only in my ear through the earphones, but also coming up the stairway to your office up here. So I got the full effect going on. But yeah, man, it's great to hang out in Charleston with you today. We're hoping to get some golf in. It was a nice day to start the day. And then Mother Nature decided to throw a curveball at us and kind of put the kibosh on that. But we had a great time at Top Golf, had a good time. I think we kind of split, right? You know, I won one of the games, you won one of the other games, but it was a lot of fun. I got to also do have some dinner with you at your golf club as well. So it was a great time to see where you play golf and stuff like that, and where we're supposed to play today. But yeah, man, looking forward to having a good show tonight. And then tomorrow I head up to the Darlington Raceway up by Mike's Way up in the PD region of South Carolina for NASCAR's throwback weekend. So my wife's got to work the event up there for the weekend. And, you know, I always love to tag along with her and, you know, go watch the race for the weekend. Got my buddies from Columbia that are coming in that I was in Disney with a couple weeks ago, and they'll be in for the race as well. So, yeah, lots going on here in South Carolina this weekend, but happy to talk some Disney. And I'm also excited for tonight that there's zero show prep. I have no notes up in front of me, no, you know, different internet tabs up in front of me. This is going to be just winging it. So just like Mike, I'm excited to see what tonight's topic brings to us.
Yeah, definitely. So it's going to be interesting. You might hear a little bit of an echo. I'll try to keep my voice down. I get too excited and then I start yelling and doing all that fun stuff. Look, I got this idea that I'd like, you know, one of my favorite things, and actually the favorite person to do this, who's Dan. Dan's unfortunately unable to be here tonight. He's got stuff going on with the family. He might try to pop on for the patron side of things if he can, but thoughts are with Dan and his family right now. So but I'd really like to surprise you guys. And so I started thinking, what's the best way to surprise them, but also include our DDP patron family? And I came up with the first time we've ever done this, the DDP patron blind bag. So what I did was I reached out to our patron family and I said, hey, send me any topic, any question you want to ask, Disney related or not. And we will draw them out of what I now have is a Skyliner porn bucket. I wrote them all down. And I am going to throw them at the guys randomly. The DDP Patreon family did not disappoint. We got more submissions than we'll be able to get to tonight, which means we're going to have some left over to do another one of these shows in the future. And look, I really didn't pay a lot of attention to the topics either. I just wrote them down, put them in, and we're going to work our way through these. And then all of the ones that are not Disney related, we are saving for tonight's patron episode. So super excited about that, that we will go over there and talk about some stuff non-Disney that the patron family asked. What topics they want to discuss over there. So, boys, are you ready to jump into our first ever DDP blind bag?
I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah, shake it up.
Here we go. I'm going to give them a shake inside there. First topic. Mike, I'm going to start with you first on this topic. And it is, should Disney release its TV shows like The Mandalorian and or Marvel shows to theaters? And if so, as one long film or in 2 to 4 installments?
I'm going to say no to that. I think some things are just better off broken up into series. You know, people always have that controversy. Is it whether to be able to put the whole series out at once so you can binge watch it? Or is it better waiting the week to week to week stuff? I kind of like waiting the week to week stuff. I've been noticing that with, like, you know, when The Mandalorian and the Boba Fett series came out and Andor and some of the other ones. I like having a couple of weeks to catch up. I don't feel like all the spoilers are out. I think if every episode comes out at one particular time and, you know, the internet with all of their spoilers, it's very easy to stumble across something. I think their series are better off the way they're set up. I don't think that it would fare well to just do them in the movie theater. I like doing the week to week. And then if it's something that I heard was good and it's been around for a while, it's great to do a binge watch as well because all the episodes have been released. But I think that's probably the way I would go. I'd rather see 10 hours of 10 weeks of a show than spend 10 hours in a movie theater.
Can you imagine? Hey, babe. I'm going to go to the movies. It's 10 a.m. I'll see you this evening about 11 p.m. I'll be back. So we'll be good. There's a guy I listen to every single day. It's KSR, Kentucky Sports Radio, and his name is Matt Jones. And he's also on ESPN Radio. But once a year, he does one day where he goes and watch 5 movies in one day. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I have the patience for that. Like, there's just no way.
I think I would have a headache by the end of the day. I mean, even if it's something that I really like, look, I'm just equated to something like sports that I absolutely love. Like, I love NASCAR. After like 4 hours of like a 500-mile race, I'm like, okay, I had enough. We're almost done here. So 5 movies at like 1.5 to 2 hours a pop, it's a long day, man. It's a lot of snacks, too.
That is a lot of Twizzlers being eaten. Oh, so,
and bathroom breaks.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. It'd be like run Disney events, or I'd have to hold it the whole time. So let's move on. Here we go. Joe, I'm going to start with you on this one. Give it a shake. Let's see what we got here.
Nervous.
It is kind of stressful because you can't prep for this. It's off the cuff. Like it. It's on the fly. No one has a clue.
And it's random, too. It's not even something in my wheelhouse. Could be anything right now.
Could be anything. Here we go.
I hope it's movies.
Name. Name a character meet and greet, or a couple of them, that should be added to the parks ASAP.
Oh my goodness. Okay. First one that comes off the top of my head, and I don't understand why I've had a lot of these videos in my YouTube feed, but I want to bring back a Roger Rabbit meet and greet at Hollywood Studios.
Love it.
It's the 35th anniversary of the studios. Roger Rabbit was the iconic character of the studios when it first opened. That is the first thing that comes to my mind is Roger Rabbit. The second one, and I've said this before on many other shows before, it's one of my favorite meet and greets, and it only happens at certain times or in certain places. I think it should be as a group all the time. And I know it's tough because it's hard to get all of the friends together, but I'm a big fan of the Seven Dwarfs meet and greet all at once. I know it's only in special times, usually Mickey's Not So Scary or the Christmas party or at Wilderness Lodge, possibly when a few of them are there at Artist Point. Yeah, I was going to say Artist Palette. We're not at Saratoga, it's Artist Point. But yeah, I would love to see the Seven Dwarfs meet and greet as well. And if I could have a very, very controversial one, just if I could throw one out there, I would love to see Br'er Rabbit, Br'er come back and Br'er Fox come back for a meet and greet as well. So, so that would be the three I would bring back. Two of the three are definitely feasible. One is not.
I was trying to mute my mic because, like I said, I'm normally in my office. Now I'm in the kitchen and you could hear my alarm or not alarm clock. What are they called? You know, like the clock where it makes cuckoo sounds. Cuckoo clock. Yeah, we got a cuckoo clock down here, and it started doing its little sound because it's 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. So it was doing its thing. Mike, anything you want to add to that as far as characters?
No, I mean we've done a ton of shows on what characters we should see in the parks. I mean, you know, one of the most, but I do think that having limited availability of them makes them special for certain events. You know, you can't see Jack Skellington on a regular day, so be able to have them there for a party. So I do like some of the exclusivity that they have, that some of them you can't see on a regular basis, that you have to be at a special ticketed event or you have to be, you know, a specific time of year. There's definitely some really cool ones out there. I do love the Seven Dwarfs. I've actually have some pictures of them from when we did a Not So Scary Halloween party, which made me think of that. I have a Jack Skellington and a Sally. I've gotten that from one of the parties as well too. I mean, there's definitely a lot of cool, even if you kept the same characters, maybe if you change some of the outfits around, like maybe I'd like to see Race Car Pluto quite a few, maybe a little bit more over by Test Track, you know, change that up a little bit, just add a couple here and there, maybe the same characters but in a different kind of outfit.
You know what the funny thing is? This is why a lot of people do run Disney events, is because you do get unique characters that you don't get throughout the rest of the year, or do extra ticketed events. Like you said, Mickey's Not So Scary, which Joe and I just got our tickets for Halloween night. We're going to be rocking it in the Magic Kingdom this year. So, I don't know if I would really add anything extra to the parks in general. I think keeping, like Mike said, keeping some of those special really makes it more unique when you finally do get to see them. I do love the Roger Rabbit one. I would like to see maybe for those big years, like 35, 40, 50, you know, those celebrations, maybe you go back and you get like the most popular characters from, you know, the first decade and kind of bring them back into the park. I think that would be pretty unique and pretty fun and pretty cool. If you look back at a lot of Joe's, you're a YouTube, like, you go down YouTube rabbit junkie holes all the time. And, you know, you'll watch these videos from the early 1990s, you know, of the MGM studios at the time. And you do see characters that you just don't get now. So I think it would be kind of cool to bring them back and have them in their retro outfits and have that. But other than that, I don't know if I would really add anything in particular, maybe like a Hatbox Ghost meet and greet, something like that. But outside of that, I don't really think it'd be cool to meet Trader Sam. That would be kind of a cool meet and greet outside of Jungle Cruise. But other than that, I don't think I would really add anything. So let's move on. Here we go. We got so many that we're going to try to get through as many of these as possible. Giving it a shake. Mike, coming back to you, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll say I was lazy with some of these, and I just said, look up this person, because I wasn't going to write down everything they said. So I'm looking up this person right now, and they said a fascinating podcast topic could be designing the ultimate theme park, a global mashup of Disney and Universal's best. Whoa. The episode would explore the concept of creating the ultimate theme park by combining the most iconic and beloved attractions, themes, and experiences from Disney and Universal parks around the world. You could discuss what elements from the parks like Disneyland, Disney World, Universal Studios, and international parks in Tokyo, Shanghai, Paris would make the cut. This could include rides, themed areas, technology, and entertainment that have defined the essence of theme park magic globally. Maybe picking three e-ticket and three normal attractions You may have done this already. We have not done this. This shoes white. We have not done this already. We don't have to really get into the details of this, Mike, but it's the topic in general. Can you imagine combining kind of the best of everything, Central Florida, Disneyland, you know, international, and putting them all into one theme park? Do you think that would work?
Yeah, I think that would be super
cool.
It's a pipe
dream. It's a pipe dream.
Yeah, but, I mean, to have, you know, Harry Potter on one side and have, you know, Sorcerer Mickey on the other side. You know, I mean, that's kind of cool to combine the two of those. You know, it would be a very cool mashup, you know, to have both of them combined. We both have our love for, you know, some things Universal and some things Disney. I think everything kind of has its place. I think it's kind of like picking your favorite child, you know, like which one do you like better? It's kind of hard to pick that out. I do like Universal for some things. I do like Disney for other things. So I don't know. I mean, it would be cool to mash them up together, but I do like keeping them separate to a certain point.
Joey, can you imagine? Like, I mean, the one thing I would, the sad part is I would take the majority of attractions from Disneyland and kind of bring them over. I don't know how much a lot of love from Disney World might not even make it in. I mean, at least Disney World's got Epcot, Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom. They could give it some love, but I mean, talk just attraction wise, Disneyland's probably pretty superior.
Yeah, but the first thing I thought of when you mentioned this topic from Mr. Shoes White is thinking that, okay, Universal has a castle, the Hogwarts Castle, and we have Cinderella or Sleeping Beauty Castle. Then Universal has their spinning globe, and we have the Epcot geodesic sphere. So you can have weenies on opposite ends, kind of dueling weenies, you know, with like one side of the park has certain things, one side of the park has Universal things or Disney things. I would agree. I mean, you could take the best of both worlds. I mean, you could have like, for example, the first thing that came to mind was Coaster Kingdom, right? You could take the best from Universal, would be Velocicoaster, Hulk, you know, the newer Harry Potter attractions, along with Rock and Roller Coaster, a classic like Space Mountain. And then you have maybe some of your traditional dark rides. Like, for example, you have the Men in Black Alien.
Vulture Spin?
The shooting game. The one in Universal, and then you have something like, you know, a Buzz Lightyear or a Toy Story Mini. So you can also have like mirroring attractions, but the best of both worlds. So something like that would be kind of interesting, you know, in a pipe dream world, right? But, you know, have like almost like mirrored attractions, like, you know, where your Coaster Kingdom, you know. So that's kind of the first thing that comes to my mind. You know, like, we all love our e-ticket attractions, right? And Universal's got some really awesome ones, and Disney's got some classic ones that we like that may not be the most thrilling, but we have great memories of them. So yeah, I agree. And especially, you know, I don't know much about Universal Hollywood, but just basing off of Universal Studios Orlando, great attractions there, and you have the pick of the litter between, you know, Japan, you know, Anaheim and Orange County, Florida. So, I mean, you could take whatever you want. They're all mostly the same, but it'd be great to have all those together under one roof for sure.
How cool would it be to take the one of our favorite Hollywood Studios rides, the Great Movie Ride, and be able to combine them all into one super movie ride where you're able to have the best of all of them, similar as like a kind of a ride through, but, you know, like I said, to have, you know, Star Wars merge into, you know, Marvel stuff, and then vice, you know, and then different versions of different stuff from other, you know, I mean, there's so many great movies that have come out from both of the companies that to have them in one great big movie ride would be super cool.
Yeah. I mean, they both do their job so well at what they do. I mean, we're starting to see Universal dive a little more into like the kids stuff with their new DreamWorks Land opening up later this summer. Disney's always been great with the family attractions, and, you know, we're starting to see them dive more into like coasters with Tron opening up and stuff. So, I think they're kind of learning off each other. It would be interesting to put them in a theme park and see how it works. It, you know, definitely two different products for two different people. I mean, I'm the perfect example of it. We did Disney like crazy. Bill Riley hit about 9, and then she became a coaster junkie. And so then we kind of moved more to Universal and did Universal more. And now that we have a new baby on the way, now we actually let our Universal passes expire and we're back at Disney. You know, I think we have 4 trips booked in the next, you know, through the first of the year. So yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to combine those two and understand that you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. And then really, when you talk, I mean, we could go on for an hour. That's why I said this may be a good topic for us to do about the international parks, to bring over what they have with, I mean, certain nighttime shows, you know, talking about the drone show that they have. And there's just so much out there to offer. It's like I said, it's a pipe dream. It'll never happen. But if it could, I mean, it would, would create probably the best theme park in the world because you are getting the best of everything. So moving on, here we go. Going to reach in my Skyliner bucket here. Joey, starting with you.
All right.
And by the way, people, I'm bringing you straight into Charleston, South Carolina on a hot day where it just rained all day. So get ready because at some point you are going to hear what the frogs sound like mm-hmm. outside of our house. Can you hear them already, Mikey?
No, but I hear them out here because I have the Symphony of Frogs out here.
And it's funny
because I think a long time ago, I always kidded you about that. I'm like, how do you live with that? Well, I live with it now too, so it's fine.
You know, what's funny, man, is like when they first come back around this time of year and we have that pond, we have a man-made pond, little pond that just has a little waterfall going into it right outside our patio out there. And when we built it, I didn't think about the frogs and pretty much it's just a hotel for frogs. Like they show up and they're there all the way through summer. And when they first show up, like right around now, it's pretty annoying. The other night, they were crazy loud. I mean, it was just insane how loud they were. Then you get used to it. And then come November, when they go away, you actually miss them. It's weird. It's mm-hmm. got to be the equivalent of, Mike, of like living in the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where you used to like the trains and you used to like the sound of traffic and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then you move outside the city and it's like, it sounds horrible, but your body kind of is used to that. And you are living near an airport or railroad tracks or something like that. I kind of miss my froggy friends whenever they leave in November, but right about now they it's funny because when you were talking, they were going nuts and it's almost like I caught them because they just all quit at the same time right before I started talking. So we're good. All right, here we go. Joey, coming to you. What is the best non-traditional Disney park snack? Not including things like Mickey bars, pretzels, like that kind of stuff. Like something you can get in the park that's not like traditional.
So non-traditional. So anything that's not Mickey related, right?
Yeah, that's what I'd go with. Yeah. Or like churros. I would include churros. Like that's kind of a traditional Disney thing.
All right. Let me see here. That's a tough one, man, because like a lot of the snacks, like we're kind of like the traditionalists, we always do the same thing. So you say the best one. Oh my goodness. See, this is where no show prep kind of hurts. So like, the only thing that comes to the top of my head is if I say a specific kind of ice cream, would that constitute, as long as it's not a Mickey ice cream? Can I throw
No, I think
there?
You're fine. Yeah.
All right. So one of my go-tos when I want like an ice cream snack that's not Mickey related is I like the Nestle Toll House ice cream sandwiches.
Mm.
So those are actually like those a lot. Another thing that actually I've gotten into lately, and it's something a little more healthy, believe it or not. And this is really, it's probably not the best snack, but I think for a healthy alternative option, which I'm trying to eat better these days, I'm trying to lose some weight, getting, you know, race shape, is if you're over in the Magic Kingdom and even in Epcot, if you're over at the Living with the Land or the Land Pavilion at Sunshine Seasons, they have the cuties, like little like tangerines,
yeah.
Also the Baby Bell cheeses. So that's something I've actually gotten into recently when I've been in the parks. So you know, you don't always have to go for the ice cream or the fried foods. There are some healthier options that I actually do enjoy. And, you know, some oranges on a hot day is kind of refreshing, or some cheeses to kind of fill you up a little bit. But if I have to go with something a little less non-healthy, I would say the Nestle Toll House ice cream sandwiches. Those are excellent. They're not technically Mickey, but they are very good. And you can get them in most of the hotel, like sundry shops or grocery components. They have them there. And they also have them in the parks as well. So that's kind of the only ones that really off the top of my head, Justin, that come to mind for best snacks.
Mikey, you got anything?
The only thing that I can think of that's not a traditional, like, you know, Mickey waffle or Mickey something, I'm gonna go with popcorn.
I mean, that's my go-to Disney snack. Like that's I'm not very good at,
man, that's like,
yeah, you know. I'm not very good at this topic because I don't eat what would be considered, I guess, the non-traditional snacks, because I'm pretty simple, man. I either get a Mickey pretzel or I get popcorn. Like those are my two kind of go-tos of the park. I mean, Mike, I know you love that pretzel. That's kind of your staple over there. So I don't know. That's really hard. DDP family patron, you know, you guys post either the main group or post in the patron group and let us know some of the non-traditional snacks you guys like, because I think that would be interesting here, because look, this is one thing that I don't think the three of us really, I'm not a big snacker when I'm in the parks. Most of the time it's too hot. And, you know, I know I've got a big meal coming at some point. So I just don't snack a lot. And also we drive down. So we bring a lot of our own kind of snacky stuff. I'll throw some crackers, something like that in the bag or protein bar. And just kind of that's what we do. But, you know, we used to snack a lot more when we used to get the dining plan. you know, we use our snacks. And so I guess the one thing I would say, because we always went home with like seven bags of it, was like the Disney candy, the Goofy mm-hmm. candy. Oh my gosh, dude, we got so many. It was like sprees and stuff like that, but it's like Goofy, you know. We got so much of that stuff. So interesting one. I want to hear your opinion on what non-traditional snacks around the parks do you guys enjoy. Moving on, here we go. Mikey, coming back to you. Here we go. Here's one of my lazy ones. I got to look up this purse. Let's see here. All right, here we go. From Jess Johnson, she says, I want to know if anyone ever has bought something from the gift shop at the end of Impressions Day France, Beauty and the Beast sing-along, in the France Pavilion in Epcot. I think it's a waste of space, and the bakery should get that space so there are more tables and chairs. Can you tell I'm bitter about having to stand up and eat my sandwich from the bakery yesterday? Also, maybe it was me. I'm the only one. I actually bought a shirt for my sister from there once, like 8 years ago. Mike's perfect for you. You all love Beauty and the Beast. Have you ever bought anything from back in that gift shop?
Nope, not once.
We bought something. Riley got... So Kit Kat's back there. Riley got something from back there years ago. I think we got a picture frame from there a while back. Joey, you ever go back there?
No, I mean, I don't remember ever buying anything. But the one thing that comes to mind is... Disney's good about keeping numbers, and if something's not working, trying something different, I believe. It's got to be doing something or making some sort of money to be utilizing that space, I would think. You would think they would rotate. If it didn't sell anything, then it would rotate in something different there.
It's a big space, man.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't bought anything, though. But it's a very interesting question, though.
Can I tell you it's one of the worst bathrooms on Disney property?
Is it really?
There's like one stall. That's it. That's all there is. It's so tiny. Have you ever been back there?
I don't. It's been a long time. If I have, I'm trying to think of the worst bathrooms on camp. Now I'm trying to think about the worst bathrooms on property. Now that's like where my mind is right now.
We did the best bathrooms on property. Maybe we should do a worst bathrooms on property.
I think I never laughed so hard that episode. Your sound effects were amazing, dude. So funny.
So yeah, it'll be one of those. I'll check it out. I'm going to be in the parks coming up. I'll check it out, and I'll let you know if there's anything in there that interests me. I don't think that I think we bought maybe one thing there, but it's been a long, long, long time ago. Moving on. Here we go. Reaching into the DDP blind bag. Joey, this one is you. This is perfect. If you had to renew vows, where on property would you do it?
Oh, interesting. There's a couple of places that I'm trying to think of a spot that's really special to Jen and I. Now, a lot of our DDP people would say, oh, he picked somewhere at Saratoga Springs. That is not the case. I would probably say, oh, Mike, this is a tough one because I think mine's going to be resort centric, right? I would say probably if I had to renew vows, and it's not the same of what it used to be, but I would try to go back over by Sunset Point at the Polynesian. Because even though, like, there's nothing more classic than going across Seven Seas Lagoon and having Cinderella Castle in the background. Now, I don't know 100% off the top of my head how good that view is still there. I think Sunset Point is kind of, like, blocked by the bungalows now. So I probably would want to circle back with that and maybe amend my answer. But the first thing off the top of my mind would be Sunset Point at the Poly. If I had to go somewhere else, oh man, Justin, it's like, it's tough because this is one of the ones I really would love to brainstorm. I don't know. I'm going to let you throw it to Mike and give me another like minute or two. I really want to brainstorm this real quick.
Mikey?
So I think everyone's got the typical shot of like, you know, walking up Main Street, seeing the castle in front of you. I kind of like some of those side shots. I know there's a fountain or a little picture area. If you're looking at the castle to the right of the castle, kind of going down that way, there's a little alcove area. I think that'd be a great place to do your vows. And then I would want to have an after party for, you know, like after you renew your vows, have a little wedding party over at the top of the World Lounge, just, you know, overlooking Magic Kingdom from there.
I'm trying to think. I'm going to say All-Star Music.
Amazing.
Here's why. It was my first ever trip to Disney with Katie. We stayed at All Star Music. I've got some great pictures. I mean, I probably wouldn't do it there, but there could be some cool places around there to do it. You know, where I probably would go, because it's a really important place to us now, is I would like to rent out privately have the terrace at Topolino's out there, have little tables set up, have some hors d'oeuvres for everybody, and really be able to just see fireworks in the distance, maybe some music, and then have our vow renewal up there. It'd be a beautiful spot overlooking property.
So you kind of sparked the, you know, when you talked about you and Katie in the first place you stayed, you know, when you guys visit a property, you know, Jen and I's first trip was actually a Pop Century, but I think our best ever Disney vacation was our 1 year anniversary when I went over and beyond and planned this crazy trip. And I remember it's what I always talk about when we did the Grand Floridian private dining with the butler service. And it was catered from the Citrico's chef. And Citrico's seems to be a very special place that Jen and I have had a lot of special dinners. And I remember being on that private terrace at the Grand Floridian. It's really not a place that we've ever really, we stayed at the Grand Floridian once. I've stayed with you and Dan at Grand Floridian once. So it's not like, I've stayed there a lot with my family growing up, but it's not like something we've stayed there together. But that specific evening, it was probably one of the best evenings. And to this day, my wife still has that photo on her phone of us on top of the terrace at the Grand Floridian having that private dining. So maybe Justin would be somewhere where we had that 1 year anniversary. It's not crazy fancy, but that was an amazing evening. I still have the menus from that night. So I think that would be, if I couldn't do Sunset Point, I would definitely do where we had our 1 year anniversary dinner. That was, I think I kind of like topped out. Like I could never recover or do something to top that evening. So I kind of, you know, I kind of ran too fast. I could never overcome that. You know what I'm saying? It was such a good evening. So I would say it would be at Grand Floridian.
Let me give you another one. And I've only had this experience once, and it was actually with Mike. That's fireworks cruise. Think about being out in the harbor, being out, you know, Seven Seas Lagoon and Bay Lake, and then coming back and having your vow renewal right before the fireworks go, and then being able to see the fireworks. So that's another place that I think would be a really unique, fun situation. That would actually be really easy to plan. All you would do is just rent the fireworks cruise and bring whoever's doing the vow renewal with you. Can have up to 10 people plus the captain. And so I think that would be a really, really unique thing to do. Or do it at Hoop-Dee-Doo, man. You know what I mean? Try to plan something to get it right there at Hoop-Dee-Doo. You kidding me? I'm screaming more chicken and I do at the same time. Let's go. I do more chicken. Let's go. I love it. So let's move on. Next one. Here we go. Mikey, coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's my froggies, if you all can hear him. Which ride at Disney would make you the sickest the fastest?
You know, I don't get sick that quick. Takes a lot. I think the only one that I'm not a fan of because it's just painful to me is probably Space Mountain. I can do Mission Space Orange, you know, not a problem at all. I'm very good, but I have a very high tolerance, so it's tough for me to say that because I enjoy the thrill rides. I enjoy the upside down stomach kind of motion kind of stuff. So that's a tough one for me to answer because I don't get queasy that easy. But I would say Space Mountain is probably the one that's the most painful for me because these old bones ache if you're getting rocked around on that Space Mountain.
What's rougher, Space Mountain or Matterhorn? I'm going to tell you.
I know you're going to say Matterhorn, but I think Space Mountain is worse.
Dude, oh my gosh. I'm telling you, Matterhorn just beats you up. I mean, especially if you're in the back seat. I rode it with Mikey, and I was sitting right behind him in the very back seat, and I told him, I was like, my voice is going to be a different octave after this. Like, this is absolutely brutal to ride through. So, and I love Matterhorn, but man, holy moly, that thing gets you. What was my question again? See, now I've already thrown my question away, and I got to ask Joey.
Makes you the
sickest. Yeah, ride that makes, I mean, Joe, I'll get mine first. Mine is easy. Mine's the teacups. I can ride the teacups as long as we're not spinning it like we're, you know, crazy people. Like, I can get on there and enjoy it, but it doesn't, like, I guess what's the point in riding it if you're not spinning the teacup, you know? Is it, you know, what's the point of it? So I just don't ride it. That one, of course, Mission Space doesn't really make me sick. It just makes me not happy. Like, I'm claustrophobic, and that's, you put me in that coffin of death. I don't want to be there. I don't have Gary Sinise to save me anymore if something goes wrong. You know, I don't trust that the ledge is always going to hold, that we built our landing strip at the end of a mountain for some reason. Just nothing about it is nice. I don't trust the people I'm with are going to push the button when they're supposed to take care of the things. There's too many things that can go wrong, and I don't like it, Joe.
I don't blame you. I know on my end that makes me sick, and I have the wrong name of this attraction because it's, the land has been transformed, but over in Disney's California Adventure, the old Mickey's Fun Wheel. I don't know what it's called, like the Incredibles.
It's called the Wheel of Death now. That's what it's called.
Well, I always said this. It was the only ride that really ever made me truly sick at a Disney park was Mickey's Fun Wheel, but it was the part where it's the inside portion where it goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad and I were out there back in 2014. As I remember, it was a month before I got married. I was out there for, Disneyland half marathon weekend. And I got a Mickey's Fun Wheel, and that was probably the closest I've ever gotten to throwing up on an attraction at Disney. It was awful. And so that was, I always said, there's nothing fun about Mickey's Fun Wheel. So believe it or not, because it was just the back and forth. You know, Ferris wheel's no big deal, but it just didn't stop. You know what I'm saying? So, and I was facing backwards because the mother and daughter that got in the same car with us, they were the ones that faced forward. It was just a giant mess. I will give you a sleeper pick on this one. And if I have a bad day, and Justin, you saw this today, because when we were sitting in Charleston traffic and I kind of gave you a warning, I was like, dude, I'm not feeling good. I'm going to get car sick here. If I'm not having a good day, I will get sick on Kilimanjaro safaris. If you get a driver that's kind of hitting every bump and you're not having a good day and you're going back and forth. I've been on a few of those safaris, not every time, but a few of those safaris where I'm like, oh my God, I hope all the animals are in so we can just drive and get off this attraction. Like, I've had a few close calls where I've almost had to hang over the side and, you know, let my Disney snack go on the side of the attraction. So
that's a long attraction too, man. That's 22 minutes if everything goes as planned.
So I'd say there's been a good, and I remember the worst time, it was a DVC event after hours at Animal Kingdom. So this is, but you know, and it was awesome. We did a nighttime safari, but I remember I rode this with Jen and my friend Florence Porter. Shout out Florence, how are you? We rode that, and for some reason, like, I ate something, whatever, and I didn't feel good. It was awful. And it was dark out, and I couldn't see, and I had no idea where I was looking. I was like, just get me off this ride. So every once in a while, believe it or not, the safari vehicles will get me sick from the rocking back and forth. Justin, you saw me today. I get car sick very easily. So, but definitely
a delicate fun flower.
Meal. Yeah, I'm a delicate flower, you know. So my wife says I'm special.
You definitely are. I keep Emesis bags in the car, which are like the vomit bags from the hospital, because Riley has a sensitive tummy. And then, of course, Katie was very, very sick for the first few months of pregnancy. So I would have had an Emesis bag ready for you in the center console if you needed it. But at one point, Mikey, and traffic was bad as 4 o'clock, you know, on a rainy day in Charleston.
Sure.
And he goes, stop, go. You're driving with both feet.
He's driving like a race car, dude.
trying to get us to Topgolf, man. All right. I was trying.
You did a good job.
Yeah, it was good. All right. Here we go. Moving on. Joe, I'm going to come to you.
All right.
This one's right up your alley. If DVC were to build another resort away from the parks, consider Alani, Vero, Hilton Head, where should it be?
Ooh. So there's always been talk about having some sort of skiing resort. So I think that would be for value to the DVC collection. I would say somewhere, and I'm not the best with like the skiing locations, but look, I know Vail is big, Telluride, those places in Colorado, Utah. I know those places are kind of like for big skiing. So I would say something where it would be a plus to the winter sports. Maybe Salt Lake City or that area as well. That's kind of a growing area, especially with they're trying to get the Olympics for the second time. So somewhere where there's like a skiing thing, because they have kind of everything else covered. They have, you know, the Florida Southeast with not only the Disney resorts, but with Vero Beach. You've got kind of the Mid-Atlantic, Southeast, Low Country, whatever you want to call it, with Hilton Head. You got Alani, you got the Hawaiian kind of vibe going on. I think that getting that wintry mountainous Rocky Mountain kind of vibe, I think would be really good. I know there's been talks about that in the past where they were trying to do something in the middle of the country. I don't know how that would work with like mountains, and I don't know if they would have to strike up a deal with like a local mountain to have access to a ski resort or, you know, to get that kind of property, but it's Disney. They could do it. But I would say something involving skiing or winter sports, I think would be, or even something up in like Lake Placid, I think would be up in like the Eastern, like upstate New York. Lake Placid's a huge area for people to go and try Olympic like sporting events up there. So that could be something cool as well. So yeah, I mean, I think something involving skiing, I think would be in winter sports, tubing, yeah, snowmobiling, ice skating outside, you know, you could do things like that. A spa, you know, where you're doing like the whole like being outside in the spa while there's snow outside. I think it's gonna be really a cool vibe, and kind of having that ski lodge vibe. I think that would be an awesome like an awesome theme to a resort.
Let me give you mine really quickly. Alaska is
that's exactly what I was gonna say. Well,
yeah. I met you halfway with the wintry, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, Alaska might.
Yep, I was thinking the same thing. The only other one that was kind of like my honorable mention would be something like in the Great Lake area, you know, something on like, you know, in the Michigan area, something around that. But Alaska, because you have Hawaii, you have Florida, you have, you know, California. I think Alaska would be absolutely amazing.
And you can combine that, Mike, with the Disney Cruise Lines go up there. So that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that and the whole conservation thing, you know, with all of the animals and stuff that they have, the you know, they take a big part in that. But Alaska was definitely just on the tip of my tongue before you said it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think it would be really great with the excursions that they could plan. I mean, the only downfall would be getting there certain times of the year. Are we doing like a, you know what I mean? Are we doing like a Outlook? What's the hotel in The Shining? The Outlook, right? Or the Yeah. And, you know, are we only open for certain parts of the year because we got to close for winter? But I think it would be really nice. I think it would be really a unique experience. It'd be fun. And you would be able to go and have a completely different experience than coming to like place like Hilton Head or coming to a place, you know, like Alani. So for me, it's Alaska, and it's no questions about it. Here we go. Moving on. There's so many still in here. Let's see. Let's do, tell you what, boys, let's do three more for this show, and then we'll save some and do this again in about a month or so. Right. We were talking about this earlier, Mike. Might as well get back to it. Name a popcorn bucket you would want Disney to make. So a popcorn bucket they've not made yet. Can be a character, an attraction, whatever. Name a popcorn bucket you would really like to see. And maybe they've already made it. I don't know. They've made so many of them.
So there's two that I can think of that could be really cool popcorn buckets. I don't know if they made them already, so maybe you know, maybe you don't know. I'm thinking something Haunted Mansion-like, maybe a Haunted Mansion bucket or a Hatbox Ghost, you know, bucket now that the Hatbox Ghost is out.
So I know they made the Hitchhiking Ghost ones. Okay. I've got two of the three. I wasn't able to get all three of them, but they actually attached together. And we actually just put those out for Halloween. We keep them with our Halloween decorations and all that. But they, I don't think they've had a Hatbox Ghost one though yet. I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be very, very cool. Joey?
So I'm going to go, I got two that come off the top of my head. I think it'd be great. Number one would be a contemporary resort tower bucket. So the monorails would be sticking out both sides, and it would be the straps would attach to where you could kind of put it around your neck. And then the top where top of the world would be, would come off, and that's where your popcorn would go in. And the second one would be pretty much like a classic Space Mountain one. I know I have a Space Mountain like cookie jar at home that you kind of see in the gift shop when you exit. I think that would be great where just the top of Space Mountain where the spires kind of pops off, and that's where the popcorn goes in. So kind of going like, I guess, old school, like Tomorrowland futuristic with the contemporary and Space Mountain. But I think those would be two. They're actually great shapes for popcorn buckets, and I think they'd be really cool, like they're kind of, you know, futuristic retro.
I'm going to give you a couple here. So one, the Fantasmic Mountain, I think would be really cool with Sorcerer Mickey standing on the top. So you would pop the top, and that's where but then you could turn it on and it would flicker the white lights. Like when the mountain lights up, you know what I mean? I think that would be a really, really unique one. And then I don't know if they've ever done it. Have they ever done a Spaceship Earth one? I'm sure they have.
I think they have.
They have to, but I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer Spaceship Earth one there. But yeah, I mean, there's so many options out there for them to knock this out of the park. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what the DDP family thinks about this one, because there are so many great ones. Here we go. Moving on. Ooh, I'm going to go first on this one, okay? Because this one's right up my alley. Booking a Disney cruise, what's more important, ship or destination? I just had this conversation not too long ago with a client when we were trying to hammer down exactly what Disney cruise they were interested in doing. They were first-time Disney cruisers. They were interested in doing the Wish, but they also were interested in a different itinerary that the Wish wasn't quite going to. And so we had this conversation. We kind of went back and forth about, you know, what's better to do in the long run. For me, it's this. Unless you're just dead set on being on the newest ship there is, then I think destination outweighs ship. Because I started my DCL journey on the Fantasy. It was the newest ship at the time, sailed on her twice. Then I moved over to the Dream. And then I moved to the Magic. It was my first classic ship, first ship. And it instantly became my favorite. The bells and the whistles and the newness and the size and all that kind of stuff that the Fantasy and the Dream had are great. But there's something unique about the classic ships, the smaller ships, and going to, you know, when we did the Wonder and did the Southern, you know, Caribbean, and when we did the Transatlantic on the Magic and the Panama Canal on the Wonder, and going to some of those places, the memories I have of the places we've traveled to with DCL are more than the ships I've sailed on, if that makes sense. So for me, destination outweighs the ship. Mike?
Yeah, I would take 3 days on Castaway if I had to go there in a rowboat. You know what I mean? So to me, That's one of my favorite places. So, you know, to me, the destination is more important than the boat. Kind of an example of that, not Disney related. You know, we did as a family, we did Hawaii, and it was a Norwegian Cruise Lines, and the boat was awful, but it was all about the destination because we got to see all of the Hawaiian Islands and we got to have a fantastic vacation. And it was probably one of the worst boats in the Norwegian, I guess, fleet. So to me, it's obviously for me and my family, it's more important on the actual destination than it is actually the actual boat. You know, if you're going to not such a great location, then obviously the boat would matter. But if I'm going to spend the time and take a vacation on a cruise, I want my destinations to be, you know, top notch and something that's out of the ordinary. So to me, it's not about the actual boat. It's about the destination.
Joey, what do you think?
So I'm going to disagree with you both, but I think it's because I'm in a different position in my cruising career than you guys have. I mean, Justin and Mike, you guys have cruised a lot more than Jen and I have. We're still kind of fairly new with the cruising. We've only been on like three, four cruises. So never done a Disney cruise, but this will still apply to Royal Caribbean or to Celebrity, which we've been looking at now. For us, it's about the ship because we're still new to cruising. And I know when Jen and I have been looked at booking our next cruise, we would actually go and say, well, what kind of ship do we want to be on? So our last cruise with Royal Caribbean, we were on Harmony of the Seas, which is one of like their highest, I don't know if it's like the Oasis class or I forgot how they're done, but we love that type of ship. So we kind of picked, okay, so let's go on like, I don't know if it was, we were going to try Wonder of the Seas. I think it was maybe a little bit bigger in the same class. We started with the ship and then we saw, okay, where is this ship going to and what destination? So for us, the ship was still the star of the show. And for us, as part of our last trip on Harmony of the Seas, unlike Mike, where, you know, Hawaii, going to visit all the Hawaiian Islands was like the pinnacle of his cruise. When Jen and I did our cruise out of Port of Miami down to Perfect Day, and we went down to Aruba and Curacao. Believe it or not, my favorite days were like our sea days because I just loved relaxing on the cruise, being out in the middle of the Caribbean, you know, enjoying all of the activities, not worrying about rushing around. Maybe also because Mike and Justin, because like I've been to Aruba many times as a kid. So the ship was the star of the show. Now, I think that as we go along further in our cruising career and you've done a lot of the same ships, you know what I'm saying, or same cruise, that then the destination becomes more of it. And especially with DCL, right? It's more of a boutique cruise liner. It's not as many ships as, like, for example, Royal Caribbean. So you've maybe done the same ship so many times, so it becomes more about the destination. So I think it just depends on where you are in your cruising career. But for us right now, and I guess maybe also because I'm like a resort hotel junkie, I love the ships. You know what I'm saying? So for me, we kind of aim towards that right now. But maybe down the line, it will change to be more of the destination.
Let's go last one, and then we'll move on to our favorite thing every week. And then we will save these guys for another show. We still have probably 14 or 15 still sitting in the blind bag to talk about. lots that we're going to get to on the patron side that are not Disney related over there. But before we close this one up here, we got one more for you. Mike, here we go. We've talked about this before on shows. If you could add one nation to World Showcase, what would it be?
Oh, we've talked about it quite a few times. And I think if I had to only pick one, I think it would definitely be, you know, a tribute to our other buddy, Dave, I would say Australia. I think the culture, the food, some of the stuff. So I think if I had to pick one country, there's quite a few that I have in mind, but Australia would be the one to add.
That'd be cool. Go down under. Does that sound right? Down under. Is that a good, that's a good Australian accent. You might, I don't want you to get confused. Wait, let me turn my camera off and you think Dave's here. Hey, mate. Don't go down under at Epcot.
Have a blooming onion?
Have a blooming onion? Eh? Joe, did you think that Dave was here all of a sudden?
I mean, I was kind of confused. I was kind of looking around like, is he here?
Where is he? Where are they going to go? What country would you add, Joey?
So I got a couple of different ones that come to mind. Number one is Australia is always a popular one, right? I think there's so many things you could do. You could have the Sydney Opera House, like on the water on World Showcase Promenade, I think would be a no-brainer for a signature restaurant. I mean, Disney, there's your million-dollar idea right there. If you want to do something a little bit different, I got a couple of different ones. If I could throw out like two or three, they're kind of like all in the same area, but I would love to see like a Portugal or Spain or a Greek kind of area. I think that those countries are in the southern, like they're in the Mediterranean, right? So it kind of goes with the natural like Florida environment. I think the Greek culture is amazing. The food would be phenomenal. Same thing with Spanish cuisine or Portuguese cuisine. I have a neighbor that just moved to Portugal, and he's been sending me a ton of pictures. That looks absolutely amazing. He keeps telling me to come over and visit. It's like, dude, it's just not around the corner, so it's a little bit hard to go visit. But I think if you're not going to go with like the Australia theme, which I think would be a ground ball, it'd be a home run. I think something like Greece or Spain, I think, would be amazing. I think just the cuisine alone would add an amazing effect to Epcot and would bring a lot of value as well.
Yeah, all those would be awesome. I'm going with the one I've said multiple times, and that is Brazil. Carnival. Can you imagine having Carnival going on in that showcase? You know, that runs in February every year, and just having like a 2-week span where you could do Carnival. I think that would be a really, really unique one. There's a lot of great options for this, but I think that would be my absolute go-to.
Justin, could Epcot handle it with all the Brazilian
tour Carnival?
It would be like the epicenter for, you know.
It would, but you know what though, man, they would all congregate in Brazil. Here's the thing. Say we go to Epcot in Bulgaria. Everyone talks about how good the Bulgarian Epcot is, right? Over there. They love it. They do World Showcase, and you have America right there, right? We know we have the American Pavilion in Epcot, but just play along. Would you go visit, like, if we went there and they had an American Pavilion, would you go visit the American Pavilion there? Or would you just want to see all the other pavilions that they have?
I guess I would want to see the other ones they'd have. So.
Yeah, right? I don't spend a ton of time in the American Pavilion here.
Yeah, that's true. So,
I mean, would they, if Brazil came up, would they be like, I want to go see what Brazil's got?
That's a good point. I stand corrected, my friend.
I don't know. Does Kyle hang out in Canada all the time? Is that his favorite?
We can't get him out of there. I've never seen a guy. He's like super. He's like the Canadian Superman. He walks through World Showcase and his short running shorts and tank top. But the second he crosses the border from the UK pavilion into Canada, somehow you look up and he's in jeans and flannel. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
It's the Superman right Clark Kent kind of transfer over.
He is.
You know what I love about him, though? You know what I love about him and Shan, though? It's like, I worked on the border there. I lived in Metro Detroit. And like, their accents are so heavy, bro. And it's like, they sound nothing like Michigan people. And they're literally separated by a river. It'd be like Mike and I having like very... Mike's got a little bit of a heavier New York accent, right? But like I have a little bit of that in me. We don't sound too far apart. Southern Canada and Metro Detroit sound nothing alike. It's just absolutely amazing, like the difference a river makes between the two countries. It's phenomenal.
I love talking to him, and he'll, you know, he talks Canadian, and he'll go, you know what I mean? I just figured this out just now. I'm trying to get a united nation of friends. That's what I want. I want a friend from every country. Okay. I'm taking applications from most of Eastern Europe right now. Okay. If you want to fill a void in my friendship circle here, get a hold of me. Okay. And we can be buddies. Reach out to me on Messenger. I need a friend. I need friends from Eastern Europe. That's where I don't know many people from there. But I'll talk to him. And then he'll text me, and he texts the way he talks. So like he goes like, "That was a good run, eh?" And he'll type E-H. That's the craziest thing to me. That would be Riley texting me and going, "Hey, Dad, like, we're going to, like, go, like, to the movies, like," and just typing, like, every single time. She would say it typically whenever she talks to me. Those filler words, you know?
I'd be curious if he uses the voice-to-speech chat thing, you know, how you speak. Is that why it's coming out like that?
He's actually going, eh? I like it. Well, look, I've loved this. The blind bag is a ton of fun. We still have a ton of topics that we're going to get to, but it's getting a little late. We don't want to keep you guys here too long this week, and we still, of course, have an amazing blind bag patron topics coming at you on the patron side over there, where none of them, not one, is related to Disney. So looking forward to that.
You know, whether you have your new popcorn bucket, whether you're visiting Canada with Kyle, whether you're, you know, I don't know, trying a different snack that you've never had before, or getting one of those, you know, unique pictures with a character you've never seen. You know, if you have those opportunities, take some pictures of them, post them on our DDP Today Facebook page, because we have an amazing DDP family that posts some great pictures, and it brings me to my favorite thing every week, and that would be Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week. Picks of the Week. Time for us to get our picks of the week.
All right, guys, you know how much I love picks of the week. It's my favorite thing every week. So, Joe, why don't you tell me, what's your pick of the week?
So my pick of the week, Mike, goes to another Mike. It goes to Mike Minnick. And first of all, Mike is repping one of our DDP Today hats in the parks, which I had also did a couple weeks ago. And I think it's awesome that we have our DDP family out there in Hollywood Studios, in the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, repping our podcast. I think it's just awesome. Just shows how Justin talks about it all the time, how great our DDP family is. So I just think that's awesome. Another thing that Mike also put in his post here is he's talking about like how much he's enjoying our content. So we greatly appreciate you letting us know that, Mike. We're glad that you are enjoying it. But he's also talking about how he was reminiscing about his 21st birthday at Pleasure Island. He's talking about how he would have a Long Island iced teas and hanging out by the Comedy Warehouse and Mannequin's Nightclub. I love hearing about all of those old school, like Pleasure Island things from like the late 80s, early 90s. That's like my favorite time in Walt Disney World history. And I just love hearing about that. So Mike, you hit all the points there. So for that, man, great stuff. You get my pick of the week.
Very cool. Great pick. Hey, Justin, what's your pick of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the great Jess Johnson. Jess has been in Walt Disney World, and out of all the great picks she posted, I'm going to go with this one. And that is, she is on a bus at the end of the night, leaving the Magic Kingdom, and they pull away, and it looks like there's about 7 people on the bus with her. She said she felt bad because there was, you know, the mass amount of hordes of people walking to the bus stop. Just don't feel bad. There is nothing better than getting on a Disney bus at night, leaving a park at close, and having the bus not slammed like sardines in a can to go. So hope you enjoyed it. The only reason that bus pulled away, if it makes you feel better, is because they knew another bus was right there and they had to pull away to make room for the bus coming in. So hope you enjoyed it. Nothing better than stretching those legs, having a seat, and be good to go there. So that is my pick of the week.
Very cool. Great pick. You know, this was a really, really tough week for me to do my picks of the week because you know how much I love Star Wars picks. And it was May the 4th this week. And our DDP family really represented with Star Wars picks. There was so many great ones out there, but I have to narrow it down to one. And I'm going to go with Lindsay Nicole and said Rising Moon Travels. We hope everyone had a wonderful May the 4th from Batu till the Spire. So great pictures. She's representing a lot of really cool stuff from, you know, from Galaxy's Edge. You know, I love Star Wars. Anytime you put a Star Wars pick, you always get my pick of the week. Tough week because there was a lot of them. And May the 4th be with you all.
Absolutely love it. And also, if you're in the parks this week, as you're listening to this, it is one of the hottest weeks that Disney has ever seen for this time of year. So stay hydrated, stay safe, have tons of fun, post those pictures. We appreciate it. Guys, awesome night tonight. I really want to say thank you to our DDP patron family for literally just knocking it out of the park, putting in so many submissions that we couldn't even get through them tonight. And so we look forward to getting through the rest of those on another episode, another DDP blind bag episode. Kind of a fun, unique way to do Disney topics is the fact that we don't really know what we're getting into, kind of throw it, and then we just have to think about it on the fly. It makes it, I think it makes shows like this go really fast to listen to. I love listening to shows like this as well. And I'm looking forward to getting over the Patreon side and doing the non-Disney stuff that people have sent in that that they want to hear us answer. So looking forward to that. Guys, let's close this thing up. I'm very excited to announce that Dan is going to be joining us on the Patreon side. He's almost back home from being with the family, and he's going to actually join us for a little bit. So excited to get over there to spend some time with him. I've definitely missed him. Mike, coming to you first.
Yeah, I had a great time talking about this. I hope that maybe we sparked some conversations in our DDP family, some dinner time talk, what the, some of their answers would have been. That's kind of the cool thing about doing this. I enjoy doing this kind of topic. It's nice not knowing what to expect. Kind of just round tabling a little bit with you guys. I had a great night. I am so looking forward to the Patreon part because, you know, when we get the non-Disney stuff, it can get a little funny. So I'm looking forward to that part tonight. If you're not a Patreon member, you're definitely missing out. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
100%. Click that link below for those $2 a month. You can join the Patreon family and get access to that extra show, the private Facebook group, and depending on what tier you join, see our smiling faces, merchandise, all the other fun stuff. So click that link and choose the right tier for you. Joey, close it up.
Yeah, so a big thank you to our Patreon members for taking the time to submit those questions to us. It's a lot of fun to kind of get the brain working, and especially there's no right or wrong answers, right? So it's not like it's a quiz show here where I don't know the answers to this. There's really no right or wrong. So I really enjoyed it. Like Mike said, looking forward to seeing what the non-Disney related questions are going to come up in the Patreon side of the house. So I say every week, Patreon standby. You guys are on deck.
100%. DDP family, have an amazing week. Spread some cheer. Be the best version of yourself. And until next time, we will see you real soon. Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, guys.
On behalf of the Disney Dads, we want to say thank you. We hope you find a little magic in your life every day, spread some Disney love, and keep moving forward.
And they all lived happily ever after. Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us. And when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic within.
Ready to begin, let the wonder...
And that's a wrap.
This has been YDF Media Productions.